The following message is brought to you by Baltimore Bible Church. For more information about this ministry, please visit us online at www.baltimorebiblechurch.org. So let's now open our Bibles and follow along as we loose the scriptures and let them speak.
So like I mentioned, the first session was very full, and we have a lot more to cover. I was surprised how many texts you covered in that first session. It's like, what else is going to be left for the rest of the day? Like, you're going over all the highlights that, you know, usually people break it up and say, well, do Ephesians 5 one time, Genesis, you know, 2 another time, and kind of spread it out. But it's like, you nailed them all in the first one. So it's like, I'm interested to see how the rest of the day is going to go. But I know there's a lot that the Bible has to say about marriage other than that. So come on and preach this, right?
Okay, well, thank you. We're going to look just a little bit at the fruit of a godly marriage and satisfaction with or in one another. There are some of the results of the marriage that, these are some of the results of a marriage, a godly marriage. Have a fruitfulness in the lives of one another as exemplified in Christ. The love that's marriage in the love that's mentioned in the scripture with regard to fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and so on. The word love there is agape love. It's clearly there an action love. And it's in the singular, and so I think that the fruit of the Spirit is love. And out of love then grows all of the other fruits of the Spirit, so to speak. It comes with joy. New Testament use speaks of spiritual realities, not always a favorable human circumstance. You have joy regardless of what the circumstance is. An exhilaration of the heart that knowing the foundation and the focus of the marriage is right. When you have the foundation right, you're solid, you have solidarity with one another, and then the focus is right as well in serving one another, then there can be exhilaration of the heart that comes along with that as well, of joy. Peace, the tranquility of mind and heart, home filled with peace, peaceful relationships, patience, forbearance with one another, gentleness, kindness. We're going to work through these very quickly. That's the way you get through, by the way. A tender concern for one another. Treat one another gently, tenderly. Treating one tenderly, gently with one another. And then move on to goodness, a sweet disposition here. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. While we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. Or we could add, the spouse is part of the household of faith, especially to our spouse. Do you do good things for others, but not with your spouse? Goodness. It's tempting to do things for others, but you don't do things for your own family, for your own spouse. Wait a minute, I'm going too far there. Faithfulness is loyalty and trustworthy. We're going to talk about that a little bit more here in a moment. That's why I'm going through these rather quickly. Meekness, it's that humble and gentle attitude that is patiently submissive in every offense, free of any desire for revenge or distribution, from MacArthur's commentary on Galatians. There's no need to keep score, as we talked about earlier. Humble and gentle attitude, submissive. And then self-control, a restraint of passions and desires. And some takeaways that we can have for that. Some takeaways would be, is Christ the focal point of our marriage? In Ephesians 5, verses 22 to 29, it repeats the phrase, as to the Lord, as to the Lord, as to the Lord, three times. Is our marriage putting Christ's glory on display? Does our submission love make our husband a better leader? Does our sacrificial love elevate our wife to a more beautiful bride? Those are questions for us to ask ourselves continually. With that, let's go on to the marks of a godly marriage. The marks of a godly marriage. Golda, I have decided to give Perchuk permission to become engaged to our daughter Hodel. What? He's poor. He has nothing. Absolutely nothing. He's a good man, Golda. I like him. And what's more, Hodel likes him. Hodel loves him. So what can we do? It's a new world. A new world. Love. Golda, do you love me? Do I what? Do you love me? Do I love you? With our daughters getting married and this trouble in the town, you're upset, you're worn out. Go inside, lie down. Maybe indigestion. Golda, I'm asking you a question. Do you love me? You're a fool. I know, but do you love me? I love you. For 25 years, I've washed your clothes, cooked your meals, cleaned your house, given you children, milked the cow. After 25 years, why talk about love right now? Golda, the first time I met you was on our wedding day. I was scared. I was shy. I was nervous. So was I. But my father and my mother said we'd learn to love each other. And now I'm asking, Golda, do you love me? I'm your wife. I know, but do you love me? Do I love him? 25 years I've lived with him, fought with him, starved with him. 25 years my bed is his. If that's not love, what is? Then you love me? I suppose I do. And I suppose I love you too. It doesn't change a thing. But even so, after 25 years, it's nice to know. It's nice to know. The marks of a godly marriage. To have a godly marriage, one needs to understand certain standards. What are the marks, the standards, the goals of a godly marriage? The sine qua nons that are laid out in God's Word, specific principles that become the hallmarks of a godly marriage. In that first session this morning, we looked at the model of a godly marriage, the foundation of that marriage, solidarity with one another, to leave, to cleave, and then to weave. And then Ephesians 5, the focus of a godly marriage, to serving one another, selfless love and sacrificial love, dying to self. That was Genesis, if you will. In Exodus, as a new nation was born, God lays out specific standards and commands. Marks that should reflect their character and their makeup. Marks that are the structure and the framework of a new nation as they came out of Egypt. Amazingly, these hallmarks, these marks are structure and framework, not only of a new nation, but also of a marriage, of a home. What are they? They are the Ten Commandments. Exodus gives us the structure and framework of a new nation, hallmarks for a marriage, the Ten Commandments. We don't think of the Ten Commandments in the framework of love, do we? But we should. Hallmarks, structure, framework of a new relationship. Love is loyal. No other gods before me. Love is faithful. No idolatrous image. Reverent. Not take the name in vain. Holy and separate, keeping the Sabbath day holy. Respectful, protective, pure, unselfish, truthful, content and satisfied, not coveting. The standard of any relationship is love. Love that's spelled out here in these Ten Commandments. John 14, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. That you love one another. 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. Without him loving us and showing us how to love, being a model of it, we wouldn't know how to love one another. We love because he first loved us. What does this love look like in a marriage? Share some principles of love. 8 pictures of this kind of love in a marriage. We're going to talk through these 8 principles. First of all, A married love, a godly marriage, is a predestined love, a predestined love. Marital love is a predestined love. If God is sovereign, and I think we can all agree that He is, if God is sovereign, then my spouse is God's sovereign gift to me. If God is sovereign, then my spouse is God's sovereign gift to me. To reject the gift is to reject the giver. To reject the gift is to reject the giver. You know it at Christmas time, right? If you have children, I know you do. You watch their expressions. You want them so badly to be satisfied with the gift you bought. And you can spell out, you can tell very quickly if there's a child that didn't get quite what he or she had in mind. God is sovereign. To reject the gift is to reject the giver. And it destroys us when we see that. Man without a wife is the only part of God's creation that was not good. Predestined love. God says, I want to give you a wife. I want to give you a husband, a spouse. It's a predestined love. God is sovereign in our marriage. Secondly, purposeful love. Love that has a goal, a purpose. What is the goal of your marriage? Think back and say, okay, now why did I want to get married? Good meals, intimacy, kids, security, companionship. Everybody gets married with a goal in mind, often influenced by growing up in the house you did, in the part of the country you did, the church, the parents, siblings, all influenced by culture. My wife has a wedding shower devotional that she has given on occasion, and it focuses on three words: aisle, altar, and hymn. Walking down the aisle, standing at the altar, singing a hymn. But then she puts a switch on that and says, aisle, altar, hymn, because women get married hoping their husband will change. Men get married hoping their wife won't. It's a truism. It's a proverb. It's not always accurate. It's not always perfect fit word. Your situation and so on. But it's good to remember, I'll alter him. Purpose of marriage. As a man, you have a certain goal and purpose for your marriage. As a woman, you have certain goals and purposes for a marriage. But what does the Scripture teach? Well, first of all, it teaches that marriage is for companionship. It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper corresponding to him. Deep friendship. Companionship. Companionship. Secondly, a shared partnership. A shared partnership. Genesis 1:28. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the heavens and so on. To do it together. A shared partnership. Discipleship. Thirdly. Am I giving that? I'm not giving that to you. I need to do a better job. There we go. No, we don't need to do that. Yeah, go back one. Here, we're still there. Okay. The purpose of married companionship, stewardship, discipleship. The wife to the husband. Sanctifying influence, 1 Peter 3. Example influence, 1 Peter 3. 1 Corinthians 7 as well. Husband to wife. Influence her toward godliness, presenting her as a bride to Christ. Help her become the most godly woman you have ever known. And then fourthly, procreation. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Build a home that pictures Christ and His church, leaving a godly legacy. Leaving a godly legacy. There it is. I was behind a little bit. Purpose of marriage, companionship, partnership, discipleship, and procreation. Building a home that pictures Christ and His church, and leave a godly legacy to your children. Exodus 20, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation, but showing kindness to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. We often read that and say, ooh, that's mean. The contrary is the truth there, because showing visiting the iniquity of the fathers and children to the third and fourth generation, then God steps into human history and says, that's enough, no more. But showing kindness, loving kindness to 1,000 generations. You think, oh, since Moses, we're well past 1,000 generations, right? Not at all. If you figure 5 generations per century, Moses lived 1,500 years before Christ, 15 centuries. We're 20 centuries past, so that's 35 centuries. 5 generations per century is only 175, I believe. We're not into that at all. Leaving a godly legacy is so, so important. Protective love. Here we're talking about doing everything you can to guard your love and commitment. Doing everything you can to guard your love and your commitment. Guard the love and commitment you have for your spouse. Guard and love the commitment your spouse has for you and the family. Guarding everything. Guarding the love and commitment. Love is protected through spiritual vibrancy. Stay in the Word. Psalm 119:11, Thy Word have I treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. Spurgeon says, backsliders go from dusty Bibles to filthy garments. From dusty Bibles to filthy garments. Love is protected through spiritual vibrancy. Secondly, love is protected through modest dress. 1 Timothy 1:9. The purpose of clothing is not to reveal. The purpose of clothing is to conceal. Never forget that. Purpose of clothing is not to reveal. The purpose of clothing is to, purpose of clothing is not to reveal. The purpose of clothing is to conceal. To conceal. Modesty tempts no one. Modesty tempts no one. Thirdly, love is protected through guarding the eyes. In other words, love is defensive. Love is defensive. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 2. David, the cool of the evening, goes to the rooftop, sees Bathsheba across the way. Be careful during times of leisure. Be careful during times of leisure. Be extra careful when alone. Be extra careful when alone. When you travel for business, you're alone. You're alone in a hotel room, being alone. When you're home alone, your husband's at work, you're home alone. Be careful. Be very careful when alone. Job 31, verse 1, I've made a covenant with my eyes that I would not look upon a maiden. I've made a covenant with my eyes. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15, has an interesting little comment. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. Oh, my love, verse 14, in the clefts of the rock, let the secret, in the secret place of the steep pathway, let me see your form and let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your form is lovely. Catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that are running, that are ruining the vineyards while our vineyards are in blossom. Chase away the little foxes. Chase away the little foxes that can ruin a marriage. Don't let little foxes around. Love is protected through spiritual vibrancy and modest dress and guarding the eyes. Love is protected through fleeing temptation. Warning signs. What are the warning signs? Being able to talk with someone of the opposite gender more easily than you can talk with your spouse. Watch hugging. My wife and I, on occasion, we'll talk about that. You have any problem with me hugging guests coming for dinner, you coming for dinner. Be very careful with that. Do I sense something more than a hug? If you walked around the campus of Grace Community Church and the Master Seminary, you would see one thing that you probably don't notice, don't even think about. I doubt that George even has thought about it, or any of us else has been on campus. Beside, in the office center of the church, in the door, there is a window about 6 inches wide and about 2 feet, 3 feet long. Every door. You go to the seminary, the door doesn't have a window, but right beside the window, there is a window, floor-to-ceiling window, about a foot wide, and so on. Those are memorial windows. Many years ago, a pastor at Grace Church, his secretary comes in crying, mourning because her brother has just been killed in an accident. She's crying, and he puts his arms around her to comfort her. But there was more than a hug there. And that is what caused memorial windows to be put in. Because he began to pursue her, broke up the marriage. I think they eventually got back together, but memorial windows. When somebody's hugging, do you sense more than a hug? Be careful. If your car tire is leaking air, do you wait until it's flat before you fix it? I know you don't. If you smell gas in your home, do you wait until it explodes? Of course not. Love is protected through fleeing temptation. Fourthly, persevering, pursuing love. The more you pursue, the more you will persevere in your love. Pursue your spouse with ongoing courtship. Pursue your spouse with joint activities. Women, I think, do this better than men. I certainly know that to be the case with my marriage. My wife has been very conscious, has worked very hard to do things together, joint activities. Watch TV shows that she loves. Dying to Self. Food shows. Dying to Self. Home and Garden. I'm treading on thin ice here, so I better be careful. Chick flick. I love to play tennis. I love sports. I tried to play tennis. My wife tried to play tennis too, and we decided it was good for our marriage if we didn't try to play tennis. She tried to play golf, and we've done a little bit, but we found out that the only golf that works well in our marriage is best ball. So I hit it out through 250 yards, and she hits it out 50, and she picks hers up and drops it by mine, and then we hit it again. Pursue your spouse with joint activities. Plutarch, 1st century AD Greek biographer. In his book on Wisdom for Newlyweds, he writes this. Those husbands who are not cheerful in the company of their wives, nor join with them in sportiveness and laughter, are thus teaching them to seek their own pleasures apart from their husbands. I'm going to owe somebody a new one. Well, it says it's still on. So hopefully it'll work. Pursue the spouse by seeking forgiveness. 12 most important words in a marriage. I am sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me. I love you. I am sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me. I love you. 12 most important words in a marriage. We often think that to forgive is something we just do, but forgiveness is, we often think of forgiveness as to forget, but you don't forget. Forgiveness is to choose not to bring it back up again. There you go again. Ouch. There you go again. To forgive is not to forget, because we don't forget. To forgive is to not bring it up again. Micah writes, he casts our sins into the depths of the sea. He remembers them no more. Corey Ten Boom says, God puts up a no fishing sign. No fishing. And it's so true. Forgiveness is choosing not to recall. Sometimes, many times, when there's a tiff, an argument, a spat, whatever it is, you choose not to finish doing what you need to do. Well, you kind of just walk away, and then pretty soon it's out of mind, and then things come up and whatever, and we never close the loop. Close the loop. Not clearing the air. It's a little like washing your car, and you have a hose. You're on the driveway, and you're washing the car, and you pull the hose out a little further, and there's a kink in the hose. And the flow is still there. There's a little flow, so you just wash the car. It's hard. You kind of have to, whatever. Or you stand there and you say, no, no. So you go, woo, woo, hoping you can run the kink out. Or you can go back and just take the kink out so that the water flows. Close the loop. Close the loop. Don't let it fester. Don't wash the car with a hose that's just trickling. Close the loop. Pursue the spouse by seeking forgiveness. Pursue spouse with patience. You're not perfect either. Patience. Nurture with conversation. Nurture with romance. Love covers a multitude of sins. And then, fifthly, pursue by building trust. Building trust. Don't ever, 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 ever violate your spouse's trust. It takes so long to build trust. For 3 summers at the tail end of my seminary, the Lord gave us the opportunity to go and manage a campground up in the High Sierra Mountains, 7,000 feet, Huntington Lake. It was a godsend. It was so wonderful, from ministering at the church and full-time at seminary and pursuing all of these things, to get away for 3 months and manage this Christian campground. It was just a blessing. But one of the things that you get when you go to 7,000 feet is you get a very narrow growing season, and it grows very slowly. It's just too cool of weather. And so we would often remind the campers that they needed to stay on the trails. Don't go off the trails, because it grows by the inch but dies by the foot. And so it is in trust in a marriage. It grows by the inch but dies by the foot. We trample on it very easily, very quickly, and it takes years to rebuild. Takes years to rebuild. Fifthly, partaking love. Share all of life. This is a number one protection of an affair. What drew you together? What attracted you to each other? I asked myself that question as I was preparing for this time. What drew me to Karen? Apart from the fact that she was good-looking and had long blonde hair. We both loved symphonies. We love, and to this day, enjoy going to the Hollywood Bowl, which is an outdoor huge amphitheater where the Philharmonic plays every week. Go sit under the stars and listen. We love to do home repairs, fixer-uppers kind of thing. Buy a home that's really run down and fix it up. We love to do it. I mentioned earlier how we tried sports and found that difficult, except for snow skiing. That we were able to make it work, and we still enjoy that to this day. Share all of life. Marriage is for companionship. It's for fellowship. The Hebrew word for widow is the word to be silent. To be silent. A number of years ago, a gentleman, an elderly gentleman, came to visit the seminary, and we were chatting at the office, and his wife had just died 6 months earlier. And I asked him, oh, you know, what's it like? And he said this, the silence is deafening. The silence is deafening. I'll never forget it. Marriage is for fellowship. The Hebrew word is to be silenced. Women love to be asked about their day. If you want to know what your wife likes, mimic her actions toward you. How was your day? You walk through the door. It's difficult. My wife learned not to ask until after we've had dinner. Then we could sit and talk about it. But if you don't like to sit and talk, you can walk together, have dessert together, drive to the ocean or the mountains or a park together, talk after dinner, something that we enjoy doing after dinner, just having a cup of hot tea or a cup of coffee together and talk about the day and what's ahead and what we care to do and so on. Years ago, a Midwest farmer and his wife were lying in bed when a tornado suddenly lifted their roof right off their house and sucked their bed away with them in it. The wife began to cry. When asked why she was crying, she said she just couldn't help it. It was the first time they had been out together in 20 years. Talk together. Pray together. Pray together, but don't preach in your prayers. Pray together. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? So work hard at being agreed. Proverbs 18, verse 2. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Ask your wife what she would like. Share all of life. Honor one another. Honor one another. 1 Peter 3, 7. Assign her honor. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Let me just read that quickly. 1 Peter 3, 7. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone weaker since she is a woman, and show her honor. Show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life so that your prayers will not be hindered. Honor. Sign honor. She's one with you. She's God's gift to you. She's perfect for you. It's exactly the gift God wanted for you to fulfill what is lacking in your life. And, of course, 1 Peter goes on to say, so your prayers are not hindered. Domestic relations profoundly impact spiritual relations. Domestic relations profoundly impact spiritual relations. If you know someone has something against you, leave your offering at the altar and go and make it right. Matthew chapter 5. 1 John 4:19. If you say you love God but hate your brother. 1 Corinthians 13:7 in the Living Bible. If you love someone, you will be loyal to him no matter what the cost. You will always believe him, expect the best of him, and always defer to him. And we could throw in, never criticize your spouse in public. Never criticize your spouse in public. And bless your spouse. Bless your spouse. Proverbs 31. Her husband also praises her. Her husband praises her. Teach the children to do this. It's one thing my mother did exceptionally well. I thought almost to a fault. She praised my father phenomenally. And of course, my father was a very special man, the most godly man I have ever known in my life. He's with the Lord, but most godly man I've ever known. But she praised him constantly to us as children, teaching us to honor and bless our spouse. And then there's closely linked to that, partnering love. Partnering love. Submission is not slavery. submission is not slavery. I think we've made that clear earlier. The LA Times, 1987, if you love your wife, you don't let her become your slave, even if she's willing. Both are made in the image of God. Both are co-rulers over God's creation. Both are equal before God in Christ, Galatians 3. 1 Peter 3 says she's weaker, but that's just comparative. It doesn't say the husband is not weak. It doesn't mean the husband's not weak too. He's also weak. The husband's part, make it easy for her to follow. Share the chores. She made dinner, you clean up. Share expectations. Ask, what are your expectations for tonight? Frequently when we'll have guests, I learned this the hard way. We had had guests over many, many years ago, probably more than a decade or more. And after it was all over, I had disappointed my wife because I didn't handle things. I didn't take the lead on something. I have no remember what it was anymore. But after that, we've made a conscious point to ask, you know, do you have expectations for tonight before the guests arrive? What would you like? Is there something you would like me to do? Something you'd like me to handle? What do you have in mind for tonight? Share expectations so that we can meet them. Maximize your differences, not accentuate your differences. Maximize your differences, not accentuate your differences. And I know that's a small minor point there, but I think it is valid. She's given to you to make up what you lack, and vice versa. I would be in a heap of trouble if we were both like me. We wouldn't do too well even in our eating. My wife is a great cook, and we would be in a heap of trouble if I tried to cook. Wife's part, make it easy for him to lead. My wife often says, or occasionally says, honey, you handled that difficult situation beautifully. Complimenting your spouse when they do something right. And then, priority love. Priority love. Make loving your spouse a priority. Make loving your spouse a priority. Let your spouse know that he or she is number one. That she's the crown jewel of your life. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4 focuses on that. That she is the crown jewel of the marriage. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4. Let me just read that for you. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband. How? Faithfulness and trust, showing affection, maintaining decorum and manners at mealtime, opening the door. Revelation chapter 2, the first of the seven churches to Asia, Ephesians church. Extols them. Christ extols them for all that they did right. Then they says, there's one thing. You've lost your first love. And we concentrate so often on the loss of the love that we fail to realize that when you lose your first love, that doesn't mean you don't love. You've just lost the first place. You've lost the first place. And he says, return to things you did before. And for your wife, return to the things you did for her when courting. Remember, sons will treat their spouse the way you treat their mother. Sons will treat their spouse, their wife, the same way you treat their mother. And then eighthly, a prayerful life. Prayerful life. Fruitful life for your wife depends on understanding her DNA. 1 Peter 3:7. She's a weaker vessel. Understand her DNA. Show her honor, 1 Peter 3, 3:7. We've read that passage already. Have a pure heart, motive. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Psalm 66:18. Having a pure heart. Recognizing that the Holy Spirit is praying with you, Romans chapter 8. That is so remarkable, and I so often forget that and have to be reminded over and over that the Holy Spirit is praying with you, praying with me, praying with gratitude, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Praying with gratitude. It says there, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It doesn't say for everything give thanks. It says in everything give thanks. You may be undergoing a trial. It's difficult. Thank you that this trial happened. No, you give thanks in it. Thank the Lord that He is there, that He is working sovereignly, that nothing happens outside His purview, His understanding, His loving hand, His guiding. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Pray with gratitude. Pray with perseverance. Pray with perseverance. This is the way people ought to pray and not lose heart about the widow and the unjust judge and so on. When I was a seminary student, I sat under the leadership and teaching of Dr. Charles Feinberg. He was nearing his retirement, but it was a delight to be able to sit in class with him. He taught us so many things. He was brilliant, probably the most brilliant man I've ever met. And we as students would constantly try to get him off the notes, because once we got him off the notes, then things would spew out. It would just come out that were grand comments of how to live life and how to do things and so on. I'll tell you about some of those at another time. But reading here in his obituary when I went to his funeral. Born June 12, 1909 in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Charles Lee Feinberg was the third child of Joseph and Ethel Feinberg, who had seven children in all. Charles' earliest recollection is his family's Orthodox Jewish heritage, attending synagogue three times a day, every day. Attending both public and Hebrew schools, studied Hebrew and related subjects for 14 years and preparing for the rabbinate. During this time, a godly African-American woman was the Feinberg family neighbor. Her husband, a railroad worker, had eight critical maneuvers every day. She lifted her heart to pray at each of those times, each time, and each time she prayed for Charles, or Charlie as she called him, Charles found salvation, faithfully eight times a day for 13 years. At the age of 16, Charles went to study at the University of Pittsburgh. There he became aware of a shocking truth. Neo-Orthodox Jews were not having punishment rain down. Non-Orthodox Jews were not having punishment rain down on them by God for their lack of orthodoxy. At this time of questioning, God brought Joseph Solomon, a missionary with the American Board of Missions to the Jews, now Chosen People Ministries, into Charles's life. Through his witness, Charles believed that Jesus was the truly his long-sought-after Messiah. Upon his affirmation of faith in Jesus, Charles' family held a funeral for him, thus severing all family ties. And he went on to seminary and eventually to Talbot Seminary, where I studied, and so on. Praying with perseverance. 13 long years, she prayed for Charlie, the boy next door. And when he was 16, he went off to the University of Pittsburgh, and in God's time, saved him. Priority love, prayerful love, persistent love. Pray for him. Proverbs 31 has all of those passages regarding the wife. Your wife is your trademark. Your husband is your trademark. Your children are your trademark, and you are your children's trademark too. How do I handle myself in public? How do I relate to my children? How do I relate to others? How do I relate to my spouse? All of those things. My home is God's embassy. Everything in my home is to reflect the home country. My home is God's embassy. Your home is God's embassy. Everything we do have in it must reflect or should reflect the home country. Well, some thoughts here for loving your wife, loving your husband. What role did the providential sovereignty of God play in your courtship and marriage? What are some ways your spouse can make up for your weaknesses, or do they make up for your weaknesses? What are some practical ways that you prevent waywardness when you travel, when you're away at the office or at home? How do you protect yourself against pornography, which is so difficult today with computers? What are the 12 most important words in a marriage? How can we honor our spouse, partner with them in rearing the children, making their love a priority, and then praying for them as well? I went through the fruits a little bit fast, so I'm finishing here just a little bit early, but that concludes things for this time, and we'll pick it up and do a few more practical things, very practical things, later this afternoon. So,
to hear other messages or to find out about upcoming events or where we meet for weekly church services, please visit us online at www.baltimorebiblechurch.org. Baltimore Bible Church reserve all copyright protection under applicable law. Our copyright policy is available on our website and includes instructions for and limitations on duplicating CDs and all digital files.